just sing it one more time. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. That's why we're here tonight. Oh, Jesus. We know you're here this evening. Won't you come among us here? Lord, and free us. Ooh, free us. Yes, Lord. Just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are to be called the sons and daughters of God, Lord, and we're coming with great expectations tonight, Lord. Lord, we've cleared everything out of the way, Lord. We don't want to receive, Lord, just one thing, Father. We want to receive everything you have for us tonight, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that you, Lord, are here to set us free, Lord. To not only sanctify us, Father, from the sins in our life, Father, but from any disease, from any evil spirit, anything that would be trying to hover over us or possess us. Lord, you're here tonight to free us, Lord. You invite us tonight to be free, Lord. It's an invitation we accept, Lord, and we give ourselves to you, Lord. We just rebuke every evil spirit that would hinder God's people from receiving for what they have tonight in the name of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. Be over our minds, Lord, and over these bodies. We plead, have your way, Lord. Thank you for your presence and for your spirit tonight. We commit into your hands in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God bless you all. Thank you, musicians. Wonderful. Thank you, Peter. It's wonderful. I was wondering if I was going to get another smiling Peter this evening. I was late coming in, Sister Cindy and Brother Luke, on Sunday, and Peter's walking towards me as I come in the sanctuary, and he's smiling so much. And I said, "Oh, he's so happy to see me. I'm so happy to see him." And somehow, we needed a song leader, and I was happy to do it, and I just found out, just at that moment. So, just glad to be instant in season, literally. Good to have you guys here. Welcome. How long are you going to be here for? Okay. Oh man, that's fine. Yes. That's right. That's what God is in, the little bit. Amen. Wonderful. Well, welcome. I'm glad you get to take a break tonight, even though I want you to be up here. So how's everyone tonight? Everyone's good? Wonderful. Is everybody tired? Oh, down. Okay. Thank you. Is that better? Now it's going to fall off. Is that good? No, it's fine. Okay. Can everybody hear me? Does it look good? Is it? Okay. Good. Wonderful. Praise God. Well, I got up early this morning. I was just, thank God for the things that wake us up in the middle of the night. I was up since 2 a.m. this morning, just praying for all of us, just to have something from the Lord. And it's been a heavy day, I'm sure, for all of us. And yet, God is hovering over his people. He wants something, and he's preparing us. And I was just listening to Why Are We So Tossed About? Such a good sermon, and it's such a good way to show us our process in Christ from the outer court. I never really paid attention before where he talks about how when we're in the outer court, he says we're just have the outside light, and the weather can change, and then we change. And then even in the inner court where the seven candlesticks are, those candles are a light that doesn't change as much, but yet they can get smoky, and how that they can be dim, and then we get dim, and yet how when we get in the holiest of holies behind the veil, now in that Shekinah glory, now. Nothing touches us. We don't have any bad weather. We don't have any bad days because we are in the Shekinah glory. Amen. Where a dry stick that I am so many times can an overnight can bloom and bud. Amen. So we just pray for his Shekinah glory and to be in his presence. So I had a thought tonight and was waiting on the Lord. And had some scriptures and things and prepared, and I just got on my knees in the study, and I just heard so hard to have a testimony service tonight. And I said, if you know me, I love to just, so this is my chance to facilitate each one of us having a testimony tonight. So again, no one's on the spot. There won't be long silences while I look around at you, which means there will be long silences. No. But I would like to go through some quotes and scriptures. And if you have a testimony, well, I know you have a testimony. If you want to share your testimony, something, I just believe that the Lord wants to encourage us tonight. How many has been encouraged by someone else's testimony? And we've had things that God's done in our life today. Maybe we don't know it, but we've also had things that God's done in our life over the years, this week, and those are monuments, those are pillars, those are memorials of God's faithfulness and God being, Hebrews 13:8, the same today. And miracles have happened in our lives. And we're going to go into the scripture and talk about these things a little bit. But we want to just be provoked to go into that storehouse of his love kindness poured into us and just let out our praise this evening. So again, no pressure. This isn't about you better have a testimony or else I'm going to talk to you after service. That's not it. It's let's go into we're thankful to the Lord for what he's doing. And when we give our testimony, amazing, wonderful things happen. So could we all stand and we'll just read a scripture? Praise God. We're going to go right to one of the best testimony scriptures, Psalms 145. We just get into the vein of him doing. Amen. Psalms 145, mine says, God's unsearchable greatness. And we want to talk about the greatness of God. Satan doesn't want that. Satan wants him to be microscoped, be made tiny. And we want to magnify his name. Amen. And we can do that this evening. Verse 1, I will extol thee, O my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Let's just read verse 3 today, right now. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Let's just keep reading on. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Let's just bow our heads right there. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Lord, for great and mighty God you are, Lord, and you've done great works in our lives, Lord. We want to stop and to think on these things, Lord, to walk the halls, Lord, of the testimonies, Father, of what you've done in our lives and others' lives, Father, to sing your praises, Lord, to your name. Lord, we commit this service into your hands. Lord, may we just be feasting in heavenly places behind the veil in your Shekinah glory now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. What a wonderful thing. I'm just going to read a quote. This is from Testimony Upon the Sea. I want to make it a little drama like a testimony. How many likes a testimony? Amen. Oh my. Brother Eddie told me, said, you know, Brother Branham, after the meetings are over out there, said my Indian brethren, said they'll get together and start testifying, and a meeting will break out right among them. This is what testimonies do. Amen. You could say, and it's amazing how, just like, who likes math? Anyone like math? I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five people like math. What? And, but math, if you talk about it, to me, who sees everything in color and is all emotional and everything is music, and that's, and I never, I only got the understanding of math as an island way over here, and it's just memorization, and it's, you don't understand it, but just do it. And to me, testimonies can be like that, is, you know, we memorize scripture verses, we know God's good, and the people all said, amen. And yet, it could be like math to us, to where we're not realizing that, I just learned that the word for arithmetic or math actually comes from I believe it's an Arabic word in the Middle East, and it means to fix that which is broken. So it's something that now it's to solve. Something was broken, right? And so now we say, oh, well, we could say, I don't like math, but we can't say, I don't like something that fixes things that are broken. I like things to stay broken. And we know math in our lives is so important. And we see that in testimonies that there's something that happens when we talk about why they're for, what testimonies are for. So we see here a testimony. When we just talk about what God has done, something happens. Meetings happen. They'll get together and start testifying, and a meeting will break out right among them, and they'll go, I'll go over, and said, then they'll quieten down after a little while. Then somebody else will get up and testify, and out breaks the meeting again. And said, they just stay there. As long as the Spirit is there, they stay. That's real good. Good sound philosophy. Not philosophy, but good sense. It's staying with the Spirit. So when we testify, when we think about him, he comes around. When we testify, God comes on the scene, and it brings our faith up higher to testify of the things of the Lord. You know, I'm just thankful in my life of what God's doing. It's not an easy road that we have, but we have Christ in us. Amen. And to be able to, Derek, that looked like you had a testimony right there. Okay, come on up. Okay.
It's been a couple of weeks. So, on Tuesday last week, we had the first court hearing. I'm trying to balance work, looking after the kids, trying to be responsible for a whole bunch of things and be at the court hearings, which are up in Sherburne County. So Emma's been going backwards and forwards between the houses, and she's been a blessing. I dropped Emma off in the morning because I wanted to use the small car that we have, which is a blessing that we have two cars. And I worked at Starbucks, and then I I made some phone calls as I was driving up, and I stopped in a couple of other places. And I have this pair of Apple AirPod Pros. And they're nice because they have active noise cancellation. And I put one in my ear, and when I looked for the case in the car, I couldn't see it. And I looked all over the car, just couldn't see it. Stopped by a couple of places I've been at, couldn't see it. And in all of this, my goal is not to be like, oh, Derek's a big guy and look how helpful he's being. It's just to say, when I was in the situation, I acted in a way that God would say, you know, you did the right thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of wrote it off, and it was like, well, oh, well, I had some Apple AirPod Pros, but it's okay to lose them, even though it's disappointing. Because, you know, things happen, especially with me. But I was driving home from Josh's place on my own. And I was like, Lord, I really like those. Because they had active noise cancellation. And when I was mowing the grass, I could listen to things. And I was like, could I have, you know, another set? Now, this comes back. Josh and Debbie, there's a kind of tablet, it's called the Remarkable, and I really wanted one, and it's like, they're $600, and on my birthday, Josh was like, I got a gift for you, and he got a new one, and he was nice enough to give me his old one. It's like, oh yeah, this is really good. So I'm like, ah, nice birthday present. I'm like, you take care of me, Lord. Could I have my Apple AirPod Pros? Now, I know this sounds silly.
Not at all.
But God is good.
Amen.
Even to me. So Rachel went out in the car. She came back and she said, I found your case.
Praise God.
In the car. I don't know whether I missed it, which, to be honest, that's the most likely explanation with everything that's going on. Or whether the Lord miraculously put them back in there. You know, I don't know, but I've got them back now. And I'm happy. So the Lord has been good to me.
Amen. Wonderful, Derek. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Just the little things in our lives. Just those little things. Reminds me of that story, and if you've heard, there was this man, I think this was during the Great Depression, and he had saved up three months' wage. It was a lot of money to get a new pair of glasses, and you may know the story, and he was helping out a church to send a missionary crate, and they boarded up all these supplies to send overseas to the missionary, and afterwards he couldn't find his glasses. And for this whole next year, now he had to save up, you know, three more months and everything, and he just it was so hard to let that go, and he was just saying, Lord, you know, here I volunteered my time at church to help, and I lost my glasses. And it was so hard for him to get over. You know how that's how David encouraged us not to fret ourselves, because that fretting is that continual wearing down, uninterrupted, repeated in the same way always. And so a year later, the missionary comes back to visit. And he addresses the church, and he tells us the testimonies of God, people coming to Christ and all these things. And he says, I want to make a special, I have a special testimony. He says, I was praying for a pair of glasses. And he says, I want to thank you for sending me. I don't know how you knew my exact prescription, but you sent me the exact prescription for my eyes. And here they found out it was the exact same ones that he had lost. And so the story, now he realized that loss was actually a gain for Christ, and for his kingdom. So thankful for that. Oh, praise God. So we know testifying makes a meeting break out. You just raise your hand if you have one. Janelle. Thank you for that song. I've listened to it like 8 times today. I needed that today.
So many of you know my testimony prior. Lord's been healing me of some physical issues I've had for years. And I'm also on thyroid medication. I've been on thyroid medication probably since Michael was 1 or something like that. He was really young. And every year I have to get my blood drawn to renew my prescription. And sometimes, it's gone up over the years. So I did it this year. I did it a little early because I thought there was something going on. I wasn't sure. So I thought, well, I'm just going to do it. It was a month early. And the test came back abnormal, which normally means the dose is going to go up further. My doctor sent me a message and said, we have to lower your dose. It's too high. And I thought, well, this has never happened to me in the entire time that I've been on thyroid medication. So I thought, okay, is the thyroid thing connected to my other physical problems? Maybe this is part of my healing? So I work for 2 chiropractors, and I told them individually about it, and they both said, oh, it sounds like your body's working more normal. So I'm taking this as part of my healing. Amen. And healing of my thyroid as well. I had no idea, but... And then I also just want to say thank you to everyone for your prayers, for our family, and all we're going through. And I just want to stand here and say, sorry. I believe there's a blessing here. Brother Branham says in that book, Healing Thoughts, a quote, I don't remember the exact words, but he says, look at it closer, and maybe it's angels' wings beating together, and it's not gloomy and doom. I'm believing for that. Thank you.
This is where testifying brings a thirst for the Lord.
Testifying brings people to thirst for the Lord. But all Israel rallied, and the news went far and near. Finally, it went way down to Sheba, the queen of the south, to the uttermost parts of the known world of that day. And no wonder that little queen, everybody passed through, would say, you ought to be up in Israel. Their God has given them a gift up there in a man called Solomon. And there's nothing ever like it. That man has the power of discernment that doesn't lay in a man. It has to come from their God. You know, faith cometh by hearing Amen. Of the word of God. And her little hungry heart began to call out for God. Now, if we would only testify of the goodness of God, if we would only tell what he's doing and not be ashamed of it. If I be lifted up, said Jesus, I'll draw all men unto me. Then, if we would only tell of the goodness of God, that's he's doing for us in these meetings, it creates a thirst. And the little queen finally decided, after so many people telling her that this great gift was up in Israel, she decided she would go find out for herself. That's a good thing to do. And that's when we can say, come and see. We don't have to know the answers, young people. Is we can just say, this is what God did for me. And say, come and see. When they're thirsty. Because how many times have I heard and you heard, where do you go to church? That's thirsting for God. And they only know church. They don't know God. And so, or maybe they know God a little bit, but they just need to know where the source is and to be able to see, say, just come and see. You don't have to explain anything. Just invite. But sharing our testimony, that's where it all starts. Amen. Exodus 15. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, thy strong hand. The earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. God is guiding us with his mighty strong hand. He's great and mighty for us. Praise God. You know, one time, you know, it's again, Derek reminded me of the little things. I had, I was running back and forth and work and everything, and I got home and I had to go to church right away. So I just got home, changed, and I saw the light, something with my outside light by my door had turned off, and I messed with the switch, nothing was going on, fiddled with the bulb, nothing, and I put a new bulb in there, everything, still didn't work. And I just, maybe I'm OCD or ADHD, but I looked at that and I was like, oh, I just want to fix it so bad before I go to church. And I just put my hand on the wall on the other side of it. I said, Lord, just fix it. And I just went off to church and I came back and the light was on. And it was so eerie and it spooked me because I said I had done everything I could and I flipped that light switch and I put the new bulb and I'd done everything I could and I just didn't have time and to be able to come home and it's not just dark and all of a sudden the light was on. And so to see God loves the little things when we can just call out to him. I've heard said just recently, someone was saying about how we don't just praise the Lord, we declare his name. Because when we start doing that, let's go to a good example in Psalms 18. Is his name is what he does. So we just start telling the Lord, this is what you do. And we worship him and we praise him because this is what he does for his people. And so we bring him on the scene for what we know he's already promised and invited us to do for us. And we say, Lord, you do this for your people. Praise God. Psalms 18. I'm the last one to be there, so you can catch up if you're still turning. One of my favorites of all time. A call for God's deliverance. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. And we know that this is when he spoke to the Lord the words of this song, and the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God and my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrow of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth. Devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down. Darkness was under his feet, and he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness his secret place, his pavilion. Round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Can you see it, saints? Yea, he sent his arrows out and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. and the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the earth were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. Let's just read verse 16 on. He sent from above. He took me and drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Praise be the Lord. I'm going to read on just through the Jude through verse 29. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He hath recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him and kept myself from iniquity. Aren't you glad that he's not imputed iniquity to us saints and that we stand? I remember I'm just going to keep giving testimonies until I see someone's hand raised, is that I remember I was having a really hard time of temptation, and it was so strong. And I remembered someone else sharing a testimony. It was Nate Painter and Brother Nate. And he had said, Stephen, and I think he even shared this in church, and that testimony kept me in my hour of temptation. So we can adopt someone else's testimony and say, the Lord helped him. And that word that the Lord gave him, I can use that word too. And he said, I was so tempted to do evil. And he said, the Lord reminded him of that song, when others see a shepherd boy, I see a king. And he reminded him of Revelations 1, where God has taken us and he has chosen us, saints, and he has sanctified us and washed us and set us apart and put his spirit in us and made us a king and a priest. So he gave him his identity. Says, you are a king. And that's why, again, in Psalms 31, like, it is not for us to drink strong drink or wine, because it's not for kings. We're kings. It's for the one that has nothing. And so for him to be able to say, this dirty thing of the world, like, that's for people that don't have any hope. But we have a hope. Amen. And in my moment, I remembered that. I said, God sees a king.
Amen.
And the next day, I had a calamity where my house caught on fire. And here I'm standing in my driveway, and it just snowed, and it was knocked trees all over on the ground. And my neighbor said, do you need a shovel? And I said, my house is on fire. But I had just listened to a sermon, Brother Paul LaFontaine, The Calm in the Storm, how Jesus is our calm. And then I remembered that night before where God had kept me in that moment. It wasn't me. And I was thinking, wow, what would I be thinking? Even if I had sinned, I know the Lord would still cover me because I would have repented. But in that moment, when I really needed to know that I knew, like, the Lord was with me, to be able to stand, like David saying here, to be able to say, Lord, I know you're in control. The Lord's going to do it. That testimony that brother gave me helped me in that moment where I really needed him. And the Lord worked everything out. And it was even better. My house was better than before. So thanking the Lord for that. Derek. Jesse. Yeah, do you want do you need the mic?
Thanks for doing this. This is a blessing. This is just from yesterday, so I think, you know, we've had some things that we've had testimonies. The tree situation that we shared. So that was one brother, we and Sister Cindy. We had a big tree come down in our yard, and it was just came down amazingly perfectly, no damage to us or to the house. So that was something. But yesterday, this is just where I was. So, kind of a season for us, and I think so many burdens, so many needs, and just felt so heavy. And you know, to be honest, it's driving us into prayer more than ever before, and that's a good thing. But what we get, where we get into trouble is when this guy gets going too much. And yesterday morning, I kind of woke up and just things just started clouding me and surrounding me and just weighing me down. So I shared in the Grace Ministries that Psalm 55, verse 22 in the Amplified, and that was really just a blessing me. So I'll just read that real quick. It says, cast your burden on the Lord. Cast it on him. And what it says next, it says, release it. We have to release it. We don't care. We give it over to him. Let him have your burden. So I just, the Lord was right there with me. I just kind of cried out to him. And then right away, he just spoke to my heart with Matthew chapter 6. And I needed that. And just from there on, there was just a supernatural peace throughout the day. So I was so thankful. So we just wanted to read that as well. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought. No thought. And that's where we kind of get into trouble. We take much thought. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or yet for the body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Oh my, Lord, help us. Who of you by taking thought, here we go, who by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Here it is again. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And here it is again, 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. And that's what I needed yesterday. It was that thinking ahead, overthinking, and the Lord just came right down and ministered and delivered. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you. Just reminded about taking the thought. It's amazing how these are God's thoughts, right? And we're washed by his thoughts. And I don't want to be washed by my thoughts. Because then that means I have now stronger affection, stronger reasoning, stronger emotions, stronger everything, Stephen. And to think that now we can just, and that's why, again, before bed, I pray, and sometimes I just need to put on Bible audio, and I'll just start reading, or put on the Psalms, start in Psalms 18. And so many good Psalms, and just let the word just wash my thinking away so I don't let any thought come in when I'm at my weakest and tiredest. Praise God. Thank you, Jesse. Wonderful. So good. We won't go too long here, but I just want to read a little bit more. Testify for healing. This is from Believest Thou This? This is talking about Hannah, and she was past age. And then it's talking about Mary, and how that she was a virgin. And it says, she didn't question God, she just took God at his word. Take him at his word, believe anyhow. No matter how impossible it looks to be, believe God and he will bring it to pass. Amen. Now notice, just as soon, she didn't wait till she was positive she was going to have this child. She didn't wait till she felt life before she said anything about it. She just started right away and testifying, telling people she was going to have this baby when there was no signs of it yet. God, give us some more Marys. That's right. Don't wait for signs and wonders. Take God at his word and start rejoicing, saying it's going to happen. God said so. I believe if every patient in this building right now would accept it upon the grounds of God's word and believe it and start testifying and praising God for your healing, the meeting wouldn't close with one crippled person among here. That's right. God is under obligation to answer his word. And it reminds me, Jesse, of how you're saying about thinking. As remember how Brother Brown would say, no, don't think about it anymore. Right? I remember watching, Jack Coe. And how there was a man that came up and he got healed. The Lord healed him right there. And the man, he says, you feel good? And he says, do you feel any pain? Well, I don't feel any yet. Because he was so in that mindset, he was expecting it to come back. So it's amazing how people will tell me it works. Like, oh no. And they try to worship that sickness or try to worship those things. They want to make you feel better when you're sick. But it's amazing how the spirits are trying to keep us down rather than letting us be healed. As soon as I change my story, it's like God has already healed me. All of a sudden, their story changes and they don't want to comfort me anymore because they don't understand that concept. So that's when we can come back with a testimony, make them thirsty for more. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. I did look at him a couple of times. Did he raise his hand? He did. He raised his hand.
Both.
I
can give you a testimony.
That'd be wonderful.
You know what? We have so many. I might have told you that before, but
I just want to encourage you, young people. Because we have a God that is real. And, you know, I became a Christian when I was 19 years old. And I don't regret any bit of it. I was a bad boy. And you know, you don't need to go in the world and be bad to have a testimony. I was just preaching last Sunday, and I had the daughters of my pastor in Quebec in front of us, Brother Steve Brisson's daughters, and they were there, and they're beautiful girls, and they are so godly, and they kept themselves so well, and I was just saying, that is a testimony. When you see young people that keep themselves from the world, and they don't go to the world and come back, but they kept themselves, and that is a testimony. No, and if somebody go in the world and come back, that's also a testimony. But boy, I was appreciative to see those girls. And I said, boy, you're such a testimony to me. But anyway, we all have a testimony. And I was a young man, and I was, you know, I was so lost. But yet, somebody picked me up on hitchhiking. I've said maybe that before, but that man was an angel to me. Because that man, when he picked me up, he said something to me that kind of stick with me the rest of my life. Because he told me, he said, do you know God? And I said, you know, I was a Catholic and religious. Yeah, I know God. He said, if you really knew God, you would know what it is to love him and to be loved by him. And I said, okay. And he said, when you really want to know him, you have two things to do. There's two things I want you to do. And if you do those two things, you'll know what it is to love God and to be loved by God. And I thought, okay. And I said, is he going to tell me those two things? And yet he said, when you do those two things, he just kept going back like a wise man, like a serpent. He just was wise. And he was going back on those two things for me to do. And I was listening to him. I said, is he going to tell me those two things? And right before, because I was hitchhiking, right before I came out of the car, he said, when you do, when you're tired to run around and you really want to know God, first, find a place where you're alone and really do one thing. He said, ask God, I want to know you. And that is bringing us to Psalm 91, where God has a secret place, a place which is secret. It's a place where he become intimate with his people. And I remember he told me, he said, find a place where you're alone and ask him. And I'm telling you, it's for even Christian that has been walking with God and thinking, serving God, but they don't have that closeness into that secret place, because there is a blessing, a special blessing for people. And the second thing he told me, he said, when you really go into that place and you get a touch from God, second thing is that you must do, he said, ask him, what is your name? Now, I thought it was good. But I kept running. I was not yet tired enough. I ran 2 more years, almost got murdered. I hitchhiked from Quebec to Vancouver, and that's 50-some years ago. And it was dangerous. And my parents were scared to death, but I didn't care. I just wanted to go, and I was adventurous. But I came back because I had a God that was protecting me. I came back home, and as I came back, I realized what he told me. He said, when you're tired of running around and you really want to know God, ask him, I want to know you. Who are you? And I remember coming back in my town, and I had been a thief. I had sold drug to kids, and I was a guy that sold drug to the kids of the people in my town, and I had no good reputation. I was the bad boy. And I remember, and you know what? It's where each one of us can be an angel to somebody. And that guy, to me, just put a seed. He just put a seed. He laid a seed in my soul, in my heart. And that seed lay there till it bear fruits. And it's what it is. We speak of the abundance of our heart, and we lay a seed in somebody. And I remember I thought, that guy, what he told me, when you're tired to run around, find yourself a place where you're alone and ask him. He said, don't say anything else, but ask him, I want to know you. And ask him till he answer you. Ask him, I want to know you. And I came back, and I just realized that my life was a mess. And I just find myself in my bedroom in the basement. I asked God, I want to know you. I want to know you. I heard this guy telling me that, but I want to have that for me. I want to know you. And it took months, maybe about 3, that I cried. But I was determined to have an experience and to know God for myself. Not somebody that would say, hey, God is good. And God, no, I want to know for myself. And I cry and cry and cry. I say, God, I want to know you. Now, people will say, you search God. No, that was God searching me. God was seeking for me. He was trying to just attract my attention. He put people on my path that I may come to a place to ask. But it was God doing all that. It was not me. It was God attracting me. And I remember being 19 years old in my basement parents' house in the bedroom and crying. And something happened, which I fell on the ground, could not move anymore. I was paralyzed, but I could not feel the ground. It was about 5 o'clock in the morning. It was dark. It was still, because it was fall, it was still dark outside. And for the first time of my life, I felt the love of God. I felt that love, which it was like a wave. And I could not feel the ground, but I felt a love that I had never felt before. And I knew something was going on. And the words that came out, which was the first word that came out, was, I forgive your past. I will never forget that. I forgive your past. All that you have done, it's under the blood. And after that, it says, don't ever worry for your future. Don't ever worry for your future. And then it says, live your present to learn how to please me. Brother and sister, I don't know if you know that, but it changed my life. Never took drug again, never took alcohol again, never had the desire to touch a girl, and God protect me from that. But it was completely another world. And that is the new birth. And people say, oh, you cannot have the new birth without being in the church of the message. Brothers and sisters, when I got the new birth, that experience brought me to this message. Because it was the first church I went after having that experience, a church in the message, which I found a true love of God within that these people. But then I start to have all kind of experience. And you know what? It happened. It started at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was still dark at night. It was 6 or 7 o'clock at night when I came out of that dimension, and I was changed. I had an experience with God. I knew God loved me. I knew he loved me so much that he cared about the little guy. He cared about me, a nothing, a bad boy. And then he started to give me vision and show me to restore things I had stolen and to restore and to apologize to people I had hurt. And you know what? The bad reputation I had completely fell away. It people were saying, he's not the same guy. He is crazy, but he's different. And God knows it was God restoring me, even in my village. They saw a difference. And I thank God for that. And it is an experience. And then I start to see things that happen. My dad saw it. And I just want to give a little something. Because, I'm sorry, I have like a something the devil is bothering me. It's called a TMJ. And my jaw is locked. I don't know if you see that, but I see it. I feel it. And it's the devil. I believe I'm healed. And I believe I'm healed. And God has been gracious to me. But anyway, just to show you how God is so real. And he started to give me vision and show me things that were so clear and beautiful. And make me understand that he was with me. But one thing that happened that I stuck with me. And I don't ever want to forget, because the Lord says, put all your blessing before your eyes. Don't forget about them. Speak about them. Testify about it. Just tell it, because it's something that might encourage somebody. Somebody that will hear that, that will desire to just go closer to God, to be able to have this kind of experience. But I was a Christian, and I became a Christian, and the Lord had been blessing me. And one day the Lord showed me, said, my mom was divorcing my dad, and my dad was losing everything, millions of dollars. He had businesses. He had all together 3 restaurants, 2 other businesses, and he was losing everything. And the Lord spoke to me, and my mom divorced and took all the furniture, the bedroom furniture, the kitchen furniture, the living room furniture. Everything was gone. But my bedroom was there. The furniture in my bedroom was there, and my brother's furniture were there in their bedroom. But there was no more table in the kitchen, no more. It was kind of a sad situation. And the Lord spoke to me and he says, your dad's going to commit suicide, but he needs to see that he is loved. Yeah. And he showed me, said, do something for him, very special. And he showed me to just refurnish his bedroom. And I had all my bedroom, my furniture in my bedroom was the furniture. And when my mom and dad got married, it was all oak furniture, like the man's dressing and the man dresser and the woman dresser. And I brought everything by myself upstairs. And I just refurnished my dad's bedroom. I put curtains and I put plants. And I just felt like I was anointed to do it. And the last piece I brought was a big furniture, like it was with 9 drawer. It was big. It was like oak. And I took all the drawer out. I took the mirror out. And I was from the basement to the second floor. And, you know, the first floor, the basement for the first floor. And I took the furniture like that. And I took, like I said, a mirror out. And I was bringing one step at a time, like this. And there was a 90 degrees on top. And I got caught, could not move. I said, Oh, no. I could not go forward, and I could not go backward. I could go backward, yeah. And I fell in the basement with the furniture. I fell. And as I fell in the basement, I said, Jesus! And the furniture stopped. The furniture picked me up, pulled me up, and did the 90 degrees, and went down slowly. And I was not even touching it. It just pulled me. And I looked it down. And the Lord spoke to me, said, I like what you're doing for your dad. And by the way, said, angels encamp around those who fear me. And I understood how much God loved me and how he cared about the details and how he appreciates when we do things because of love. He knows that we need to love one another. He knows that we need to care about one another. And, you know, God was gracious. And my dad, till he died, he always really respect me. He respect my faith. And I do believe with all of my heart I'll see him again. But, you know, God is real. And he has angel encamping around those who fear him, those who love his presence. It's a reality, guys. And I can give you so many testimony, but I'm not alone here. May the Lord bless you. God bless you. I know you all have testimony, and I just want to hear them too. God bless you.
Wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Who? Come on out, Philip. Thank you.
I just want to talk about the power and importance of prayer.
Amen.
So the only, you know, if you can only cultivate one habit in your life, I think the habit you want is to pray for everything. Whenever I start, it was just a habit when I was starting to learn to drive. I was like, well, because at the time I didn't have glasses, and no one else knew how bad my eyes were, but I was like, well, something doesn't look quite right. So I'm clearly not driving this thing, so Lord, it's going to have to be you. So whenever I'd get in, I'd always just pray, Lord, keep me safe, keep those around me safe, get to the destination. And there's been a lot of, you know, close calls, whether crazy other drivers or, like I had time where I was coming home late at night and there was some recent construction and one of the dump trucks had lost a boulder out of the back of their dump. It was about the size of a basketball. You probably all know what car I drive. It's a little Hyundai Elantra. Not known for their off-roading capabilities. And I hit that thing straight on, right on a curve, probably doing 55. And it bent my rim. It was really, really hard. But I was going so fast, you know, to the point, like right when I hit it, you would think there's no way that I could stay on the road. But aside from that jar, it's like the car corrected itself to keep going on the path, even though that, well, basically two of my wheels were airborne then. So, you know, there's many other close calls. And also just, you know, sometimes we get too comfortable. Like, well, nothing's happened yet. But that's when you need it the most. I always try to pray before going into work. Lord, bless the hands. Give protection for myself and those around me. And the day is a little bit worse whenever I forget or I'm in a hurry. And I believe when you pray and you just commit these things and you just have that, you have that over when you're working and just constantly remember that, Lord, I am doing this unto you and not unto You know, this is not my ability. And I generally don't like to stand out. Definitely Minnesotan, non-confrontational. Or plaid because it's like zebra print. You know, you hide with the rest, right? But it's very difficult not to stand out. Just because, not because I'm, you know, necessarily, I don't wear different clothing. I don't have a different hairstyle from everyone else. But yet, my testimony is different. Not because I'm better. Just when I start and I pray, and Lord, you know, I have a bad attitude about this. Lord, can you just take this away from me? Just give me a better outlook, Lord. And, you know, you can go through the day. You know, then you can put that smile back on for the customers. And so right now at my job, I'm a forklift driver. And for those that don't work around, you know, hydraulic-powered vehicles, hydraulics are very powerful and very dangerous. And many people do not give them the respect and care that they deserve. So I had been, you know, I've been there for about 6 years now. Not all of that is forklift, but because of the praying before I start, or oftentimes it's a good reminder whenever I sit down just to bow my head and ask, again, just for skill in driving and for protection of those around me. You know, there's times when I just had a feeling to stop and someone had come up behind me and I didn't know. You know, you just, no one around me. Like, I'd been alone for 45 minutes. And then just stop. No sound, but just a feeling. And I turn around and there'd be someone who was not supposed to be there or whatever the situation. But also, my coworkers, you know, seems like every, you know, a couple times a month, someone's hit something and, you know, demolished this or damage that. And it's supposed to be say something with no fear of punishment, but, well, when you do things enough times, then they start looking into things. But I've always, you know, it's so easy when you're like, oh, well, I just hit a little thing. If I just don't say anything, they'll never know. And that is so easy. You know, you don't want to get in trouble. But it is the Lord that has been able, you know, even if just tiny things, and it's supposed to be the only threshold for reporting it is you made contact. But most people, they have to, you know, tear something off the hinges or something before they report it. But just the, like, oh man, not again, you know, I just touched it. But no one would know. But then you get that still small voice. And that is what, you know, that is your moral compass. You know, when people's, it's important, people's lives, you know, could be in danger. If something you didn't notice, if you're structurally compromised and you could be the cause of someone's death, it's very serious. But because of that, and because of the Lord keeping and just putting that check, just nope. Check again. Or, you know, report it. Even when it's minor and there is no damage, but now I have a reputation. So that if something is damaged and no one knows who did it, it's never, I'm never even a candidate. So your testimony and prayer and all that, I just want to thank that the Lord has place that in me, and that I am able to, you know, even every struggle, Lord, yes, I am a wretched sinner, but even that, this little thing, I'm able to be different by just being more sensitive to the checks that the Lord places in my heart.
Amen. Thank you, Philip. I never really thought about that before, is that even in our problems and in our oopses, I remember working at the bank, and I would do the morning deposit, and I had to have my manager sign off on the morning deposit as just a audit issue, and she'd be always on the phone in there, just, and I'd be like, and she just, and so I just started signing off on it, just giving her initials. And I did it for like a month because she was always, and she was always really flustered. And then finally, it was a month of doing that, Philip, and I just said, this is bad. And I got to talk to her. I talked to her, and she goes, Stephen. We cleared it up, and now I could hand it to her, and she's not going to do that. And it helped going on forward. And then the auditor came in. And then there was one thing that I didn't know, but I just lied. She said, "Oh, do you keep no more than $1,000 in your top drawer?" And I said, "I keep $2,000 all the time." And said, "Yeah, only $1,000." And she says, "Okay." And so after she left, I said, "Lord, why? What? How did I have this lying tongue? I didn't have this lying tongue when I woke up this morning, but it was there when I needed to be saved from my mistake." And then all of a sudden, I could not sleep or anything. So I called up and I said, "Shirley, I have a confession to make. You asked me if that was $1,000 and I lied. I keep over about $2,000 in there all the time." She goes, "Well, do you drop it at, by the end of the day?" And I said, "Yeah." She's like, "Well, that's fine too." I said, what? She's like, "Yeah, as long as," she gave me the stipulation on it. She says, "But as a rule of thumb, keep $1,000. And I said, "Oh, praise God." And so it was the truth serum. I said, I just love being free. And I remember getting pulled over, and the officer said, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I passed in a no passing zone." And he said it exactly the same time. I said, "Yeah, you passed in a no passing zone." I said, "I didn't signal either." Because I just wanted to be free. And it was just, and now at work, like when I get my annual reviews, they all say, "Stephen, you're so honest." And it's a lot of times it's to your detriment. And so they're always, okay. And so, but I want to be free. So it's really helped. The Lord's really helped me. I'd rather be free and then to say, "Wow, Stephen really likes making himself look bad, but be honest about it." So I'm just so thankful for that tonight. Amen. We're living epistles, read and known of all men. Even when we don't think about it, you will overhear people talking about you sometimes, and you say, "They think that of me? That's got to be God, because that's not me." Praise God. Well, it's getting on. Any last? Anybody? All right. Musicians, if you'd come. All the glory goes to the Lord, and it's just wonderful because it's knowing God, His love, and I just love to hear about His goodness. Cindy, you're all the way from Quebec. Praise God. You know, we have testimonies coming, saints. There's more where that came from. And I never heard this before. You know, you hear a verse all your life, and how it says, I'm giving the paraphrase, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray and ask God for everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He's done." And when we thank Him, we're already thanking Him. We're going rejoicing, saying, "Lord, it's done. I've released it, Jesse. It's done. And in Psalms 5, verse 3, my voice thou shalt hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto me. I will look up. We're looking up to him afterwards because we say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm here to receive. I've released it to you. Now I'm just waiting for the tracking number. But we already have it. It's his promises. It's on its way. It shall be done. It shall be done, saints of God. Amen. Can we sing that song? I think it's key of G. See, I believe God, and let's just all stand. No, that's not it. I believe God. Let's try it. Yeah, let's try G. I believe God. I believe God. It shall be done, even as he said. Trust and obey. Look up and say, hey, I believe God. Oh, I believe God. I believe God. It shall be done, even as he said. So trust and obey. Look up and say, I believe God. Praise God. Philip, could you close us in a word of prayer? I'm so thankful for what the Lord's doing in our lives, saints. Thank you so much for sharing your testimony. Each one of you even being here tonight is a testimony. Be encouraged. God is moving.
Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for every minute that we have on this earth, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, even when we don't know what is going on, we don't know left from right, up from down, Lord. Lord, the one thing that we know is that you know everything. Yes, and that Lord. We have a place in you, Lord. So, Lord, we know if we have a place in you, then we have a firm foundation in this crazy, crazy world, Lord. Lord, we are in this world, but we are not of this world, Lord. We are anchored to something higher, Lord. Lord, something that transcends time and dimensions, Lord.
Yes, oh God.
Lord, we may struggle each day. Lord, we just thank you for that rock. Lord, we thank you for salvation, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Father.
We thank you that you have made a way. Lord, you died on the cross for us, Lord. And we just know that though all hell assail us, Lord, Lord, we are God's invincible army.
Yes.
Lord, because you are on our side and that makes a majority. And Lord, tonight as we go home, Lord, we just ask that you would go before us, that we would be able to hold our lights up in this darkness, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Shining for all to see. Lord, even though we may want to hide it, may our light just shine that much brighter, Lord. Make it impossible to hide.
Yes, Lord.
So that we can even light the path of someone next to us, Lord.
Yes, Father. Just
to show them the way, Lord. Lord, for all the needs, Lord, so many, Lord. We know that you have already done.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We know it is completed, it is finished.
Yes, Father.
Lord, we are only experiencing the play that has already been written out, Lord.
Yes, Father.
From the beginning to the end, everything is in your hands, Lord.
Yes, Father.
So, Lord, we also just ask for peace and for strength, Lord, as we go through this. And, Lord, as we go forth, may we just take all these things with us.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Father.
Lord, give us safety as we travel, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Give each one
Please,
traveling mercies. And as we go to bed tonight, Lord, may we just all get good rest, Lord. We just ask and we claim all your many blessings, Lord. We thank you, dear Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's sing the song. And if anyone has a need, please feel free. We can pray with you as well. Otherwise, we're dismissed. Let's sing Mercy, Reroll My Life. God bless you, saints. Mercy, rewrote my life. Thank you, Lord. For it was mercy that rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down. For mercy rewrote my life. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. For it was mercy that rewrote my life. Oh, mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life.